Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show. Conservative news and commentary addressing the issues that concern you here on the BBS radio and television network. If you asked someone during a casual conversation at a grocery store, sports event, restaurant, wherever, if they know anything about the so-called deep state, they'd most likely respond with a puzzled expression and wouldn't know what you were talking about. If they were even still listening to you and you tried to explain, and this would be oversimplifying, that the deep state is a group of left-wing conspirators working diligently to collapse American society and take over the government, and for that matter, Western civilization, to impose a totalitarian, communistic world government where all except the elites would be serfs and slaves, then the listener would most likely look at you thinking you're a complete nut. I'm speaking hypothetically here, as for the most part, I would never engage strangers, even friendly ones, in such conversations because of how I suspect I would be regarded when I said such things. My point is, even though many millions of people voted for President Trump and the Republicans last year, I doubt that the concept of the deep state and infiltration of our government by people aligned with a radical leftist national and international movement and ideology would be realistic for most people. But the evidence is abundant, not only for the existence of the deep state and what it means for our civilization, but that its threat is very real and very dangerous for freedom-loving people everywhere. We saw Donald Trump and his administration hobbled and at least temporarily defeated by these people during and after Trump's first term in office. We, the American people, came perilously close during that time to seeing an Orwellian, totalitarian, communistic world government apparatus begin to be imposed upon us. Actually, well, it did begin, but it's been stopped at this point. Now, in Trump's second term of office, the president and his advisors and supporters know only too well the dangers they and we all face and are working diligently to expose and dismantle the deep state bad actors and conspirators from Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and Hillary Clinton on down through the ranks of the conspiracy. It's taken many years for our federal, state, and local governments to have become so infiltrated, more so in some states than in others, with these bad actors, and for the conversion of the Democratic Party to where it has now become so hardline leftist. Some of these people are ardent leftist ideologues. Some are cynical types in it for the money in one way or another. Some are useful idiot types, such as the Antifa rioters, though not necessarily their leaders. In today's video presentations, we're going to take a deeper look at the deep state conspirators, their organizations, and funding. It's my hope that in doing this, more of you viewing or listening to this program will become better informed and alarmed about the peril we still face as a nation. In last year's election, we won a crucial battle in this epic political, societal, and cultural struggle, but not the war. This is only too evident with the recent events in which the Democratic Party, now closely aligned, as I said, with the American and Chinese Communist Parties, has been imposing a federal government shutdown, demanding that Republicans agree to adding $1.5 trillion to the federal budget with funding for all sorts of ridiculous leftist programs and causes, extending Obamacare subsidies, and providing some $200 billion for free health care for illegal aliens, who are a key force in this deep state conspiracy. Of course, the communist Democrats deny all this and keep presenting themselves as saviors of the American people, but I'm not buying it, nor should you. Part of the Democrats' strategy to get this staggering amount of money added to the federal budget was their call for a nationwide insurrection, more or less, by the American people with the recent No Kings rallies. Millions turned out for these rallies across the country, but there is no doubt that they were well organized and funded by the political left and are part of an international conspiracy, as I said, to bring down the Trump administration, as you will see. In the end, I believe these demonstrations were a failure, and therefore, hopefully, the dangerous government shutdown will soon end. So let's start today anyway with our video presentations. And our first video is from a recent Glenn Beck show on his Blaze TV network and rebroadcast on YouTube, in which Glenn Beck discusses the ridiculous hypocrisy of the No Kings nonsense. Since radical left-wing billionaires and dark money, a lot of it from us unwitting taxpayers, were funding these highly organized propaganda schemes.
If this movement is truly against billionaires and the powerful, why is it funded by billionaires and the powerful? It is no longer hard to dig deep into the so-called No Kings movement. And the more you dig, the more you realize this isn't a rebellion. This is strategy. This is not grassroots. This is AstroTurf. You know, when you come with signs that are printed by a labor union, you're pretty clear. The average person didn't do that. They're like, I need to get a labor union to make sure that these are labor union printed signs. It's not happening. So this is AstroTurf. And it's not about dismantling power. This is so important. No Kings would make you think, well, they don't want a king. So they wouldn't want somebody to say, you know, COVID, you don't take the jab, you don't work. You don't take the jab, you're fired. You don't take the jab, you don't get to go to the hospital. You would think No Kings would mean all of that was wrong, but it doesn't. This is not about dismantling power. This is about rearranging power. So let's start with the money, because in politics, money tells the truth even when people don't. So according to several sources, including Fox News, multiple investigative reports, including Peter Schweizer, George Soros and his Open Society Action Fund granted $3 million to Indivisible. Now, this is one of the primary organizers of the No Kings protest. Okay, so wait a minute. So a billionaire, George Soros, gives money to help fund this against billionaires. But it goes on. Soros's larger network, the Open Society Foundation, gave over $7.6 million to the same operation. So now we're over we're almost at $11 million. But Soros is not alone. If you follow the funding trail, it leads to, what a surprise, the Arabella Network. This is a network that we exposed on my TV show many, many Wednesdays ago, probably about 5 years ago. It's a $1 billion a year dark money empire that launders donations from the uber wealthy donors to grassroots activism. Now you add in the Bill Gates Foundation. You're really against billionaires, and yet you're for the Bill Gates Foundation or the Ford Foundation, or here's my favorite, the Rockefeller Network. Rockefeller? You also have the Tides Foundation and Singham. Okay? You have a small club of financial elites that are bankrolling what investigative journalist Peter Schweizer calls Riot Inc. That needs to be known from everyone. There is now this organization funded by billionaires, Riots Inc., and it is the permanent protest industrial complex. Now, this is not just conjecture. This is not opinion. This is now documented fact. IRS filings, annual reports, public statements, they all show the same things. Billionaires are funding the outrage machine. But they were holding signs that said no billionaires. What the? What? Okay, so obvious questions. Why? Why are they doing that? Well, they're just supporting democracy. Wait a minute. George Soros? What? Democracy does not require a $1 billion scaffold of nonprofits and coordinated media campaigns. It doesn't need that, okay? It just needs the truth. It certainly doesn't require hiring data firms and communication specialists, you know, and scripts that will script out the entire protest that'll make it appear as though it's spontaneous, okay? What we're seeing here is not a movement. What you're seeing is a manufactured event. Now, that's not just my opinion. That's now how U.S. intelligence agencies have run regime change operations overseas for decades. Go back many moons ago on our Wednesday night special again, and I will show you all of the ins and outs of what's called a color revolution. Color revolutions are something that was done by our government, and this is part of the deep state. That's why people say this is a deep state operation as well, because these tactics were developed by the CIA, and they're called color revolutions. And what they do is they flood the streets with, quote, organic protesters. They control the media narrative. They destabilize the existing system, and then they overthrow that system and install a new one.
Here's another recent YouTube posting, this one by Dr. Steve Turley, discussing efforts by investigators to expose, defund, dismantle, and prosecute the deep state's shock troops, communist Antifa radicals, and their leaders who've been terrorizing our citizens for far too long. If you don't already know, there have been widespread efforts by the left's bootlick lackey propagandists, our so-called mainstream media, now more accurately referred to as the legacy media, to portray Antifa as merely a concept with no real organization or funding. But we now know Antifa is in fact a highly organized and well-funded arm of this national and international communistic conspiracy against the West. And as Turley mentions, Antifa may well have been involved in the Charlie Kirk assassination through a shadowy organization known as the Armed Queers of Salt Lake City. Commentator Alex Jones has observed that something like a third of the Antifa demonstrators and rioters appear to be enraged homosexuals, usually transgender types. While there are all manner of conspiracy theories about the assassination, Kirk's alleged killer, Tyler Robinson, is reportedly a homosexual with a biological male transgender lover, and it's said that Robinson was involved in Antifa-related propaganda on the dark web and so forth. One thing is certain. Charlie Kirk was perceived as a serious threat to Antifa, the deep state, and communism.
First, they told us Antifa doesn't exist. They said it's just an idea, nothing more. Then they told us, well, they do exist, but they're not an actual movement or organization. I mean, they've got no leaders, they've got no structure, and they certainly got no money. Well, guess what? They lied. And now the receipts are coming in. FBI Director Kash Patel just revealed the FBI is on the cusp of unmasking the entire command structure and funding sources behind Antifa. Make sure to stick with me at the very end of this video because we're about to expose the entire corrupt machine and how Trump's about to once and for all bring it crashing down. Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patron professor, here to help you make sense of the madness as the far left desperately tries to stop the unstoppable rise of a new conservative age that you're making happen all over the world. So if you want a front row seat on how you're changing the world in ways you never even imagined, make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. For years, the legacy media and Democrat politicians have pushed the exact same narrative.
There's no Antifa. This is an entirely imaginary organization. There is not an Antifa.
Like, I don't even know what Antifa is. Group. There is no group.
It's not even like far-right groups like the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers. Compared to right-wing extremists, Antifa-linked violence is rare and limited.
It isn't an organization. It is a in many ways, mythology.
It's not like the Proud Boys or the Oath Keepers, you know, sort of defined terrorist organizations with leadership that leads violence.
It's not a highly organized movement. It's a moniker. It's not a unified group like the Proud Boys are.
Things like Antifa are things that are thought up.
It's all in this guise of going after Antifa, which is nothing. There's no organization called Antifa.
Nobody's a member of Antifa because it doesn't exist. They are just declaring into existence something that doesn't exist.
There is no Antifa organization, so maybe that's good for social media. But it really is non-existent.
They exist on the internet in chat rooms and in 4chan and Discord and places like that, where they run discussion boards, trade tactics, documents, things like that. But none of them are called Antifa.
So as you can see, plainly, they're all reading off the same script. They're all got their same talking points. They all deliberately contrast Antifa with supposed far-right patriot militias. And they're basically telling their dwindling audiences to look the other way. Nothing to see here. Repeat after me. Antifa's just an idea. Antifa's just an idea. Nothing more. Antifa as an organization doesn't actually exist. Or if it does, it's purely decentralized, it's leaderless, and it certainly doesn't have any money. They've repeated these words like a mantra, because they know if there is an organization, they know if there is funding, if there is command and control, then everyone involved can be held criminally liable. And that is where the Trump administration has changed the game. By officially designating Antifa a domestic terrorist organization, anyone associated with Antifa is now subject to some of the harshest penalties in the criminal code. Anyone who knowingly provides material support or resources to a foreign terrorist organization faces imprisonment of up to 15 years. And if the material support results in the death of any person, that penalty escalates to life imprisonment. Case in point, just days ago, two alleged Antifa members became the first to face federal terrorism charges for their role in the attack on the Prairie Land ICE facility in Alvarado, Texas, on the 4th of July. They both face life imprisonment if convicted. But the Trump administration is hardly satisfied going after these useful idiots on the ground. They want the real prize. And that is the ultra-wealthy leftists who are funding Antifa and providing the resources for the anarchistic antics throughout the country. And here is where things get explosive. Multiple investigations have traced the money, and what they're finding is a massive web stretching from state governments to billion-dollar foundations to full-blown foreign enemies. Here's Illinois State Representative Brad Holbrook announcing what his investigation, the funding sources behind Antifa, just exposed.
Today we're turning our attention to a staggering amount of taxpayer money, over $1 billion, that's being funneled into political connected non-government organizations or NGOs. This wasn't uncovered by government watchdogs, but concerned Illinoisans and Republican legislators that our grassroots effort we call DOGE, or the Department of Government Efficiency. The human services budget has been hijacked. It used to mean helping seniors, helping single mothers, and people with disabilities. Now it's packed with programs for politically aligned groups offering vague services like parent mentoring, immigrant support, LGBTQ advocacy, and many are race or identity-based initiatives that serve political agendas, not real need. Fourth, this spending undermines real charity. Faith-based groups and private charities are being pushed aside while politically connected NGOs scoop up taxpayer dollars. The government is picking winners and losers and rewarding those who keep the majority party in power.
So Representative Holbrook just uncovered over $1 billion of taxpayer money funneled through state agencies directly into left-wing NGOs under the guise of community support programs, right? It's just like USAID. They hide behind humanitarianism in order to fund massive far-left programs. They're not charities. This money flows to illegal immigrant support groups, far-left LGBT advocacy groups, DEI anti-racism training. It's all far-left-wing political activism funded by you. And here's the kicker. The reason why they go through NGOs, the reason why the government sends money to NGOs is because NGOs are not subject to the Freedom of Information Act requests. There's zero transparency. You fund them, but you're not allowed to know what you're funding. You're not allowed to know who you're funding. You're not allowed to know what they're doing with your money. The budget language is deliberately vague, with grants buried under broad terms so lawmakers approve funding without actually knowing who's getting it or how it's being used. Meanwhile, genuine faith-based charities get pushed aside while politically connected NGOs scoop up taxpayer dollars. Now, the amazing news here is we've got the receipts. We know who's getting these funds, and we know who's writing the checks. And now we know who's next in line for prosecution. But all two major sources for funding Antifa are reportedly George Soros's Open Societies Foundations and the Tides Foundation. Both funnel millions of dollars into an organization called the Alliance for Global Justice, which redistributes cash to groups like Refuse Fascism and the National Lawyers Guild that helps post the bonds for Antifa members who get arrested. The Tides Foundation alone gave over $1 million to the National Lawyers Guild from 2018 to 2019. And then there are corporate charitable donor-advised funds. And believe it or not, these are reportedly coming from the likes of Fidelity Investments and Schwab. Again, I kid you not on this. These investment firms pump tons of money to these tax-exempt charitable funds, which in turn write checks to Antifa support networks. And thanks to how they're structured, the real donors remain completely anonymous. In addition, there were reports that LinkedIn co-founder and Democrat mega donor Reid Hoffman has contributed significant funds to these organizations, as well as a shadowy Arabella Advisors Network that's funneled over $100 million to professional protest organizations. We're also getting reports that Neville Roy Singham, the ex-Microsoft executive who fled to China and maintains financial ties to the CCP. He's been living in Shanghai since 2023, and he's funneled at least $100 million to far-left U.S.-based protest groups while generating CCP propaganda. And it actually gets worse. A federal investigation found that Singham's funding also connects to an organization called the Armed Queers of Salt Lake City, who are now under federal investigation for prior knowledge of an assassination attempt on Charlie Kirk. So that group deleted all social media after, of course, the suspect in Charlie's shooting was arrested and then connected with them. And they reportedly have ties to terrorist groups in Cuba as well. So we're seeing an international element here of Cuba and China involved in this. And that's exactly what FBI Director Kash Patel has indeed confirmed, that there is an international dimension to all this. Nations like Iran, China, Cuba, and Venezuela want to destabilize the United States. And they see funding Antifa as key to that destabilization. Now, here's where this story gets really exciting. Thanks to President Trump, Antifa, of course, now has been designated as a domestic terrorist organization. That designation is not merely symbolic. It's the legal foundation that allows federal prosecutors to basically dismantle the entire network. So under domestic terrorism laws, anyone, and that's key, anyone who provides material support to a terror organization can be comparably prosecuted. So this means if you're writing checks or organizing bail funds or providing legal support, you are going down. You are culpable for their terrorist activities. And when you combine that designation with federal racketeering charges under RICO statutes, you can dismantle the very operations that are funding Antifa at the same time you're dismantling Antifa. So it's not just Antifa that's getting dismantled here. Now it is, at least potentially, Soros' foundations that are subject to the very same systematic dismantling by virtue of their providing material support to a legally designated terrorist organization. Don't forget, RICO laws were designed deliberately to take down organized crime syndicates. You don't just arrest street-level thugs here. You go after the bosses, the financiers, the enablers, anyone who profits from the criminal enterprise. And so it does appear that the two individuals tied to Antifa, who were just indicted on terrorism charges for attacking an ICE facility in Texas, they're just the beginning. And that's exactly what Patel is saying. They're just the tip of the iceberg in all of this. The days of Antifa and the Soros-like financiers operating with impunity are over. Trump designated them as terrorists. Patel is following the money. And justice is finally coming.
A key part of the deep state conspiracy against America was the Russia collusion hoax set in motion against President Trump, which was meant to discredit, imprison, and utterly destroy Trump, and with him the MAGA or Make America Great Again movement. Here's another recent YouTube posting by Dr. Steve Turley about what is hoped will be prosecutions of those criminally involved in the Russia collusion hoax.
What if I told you that the biggest scandal in American history is about to blow up like no one ever imagined? And what if I told you that after years of lies and cover-ups, the indictments are finally coming? A former Senate Judiciary Chief Counsel just dropped a bombshell that's sending panic throughout D.C., terrifying every corrupt politician in Washington. Stick with me to the very end of this video because we're going to see how the roof just got blown off the biggest scandal in U.S. history, and justice is finally coming. Hey, gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patriot professor, celebrating yet another day of the golden age that you made possible back on November the 5th. So if you want a front row seat on how you continue to change the world in ways you never even imagined, make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. For years, we were told by the legacy media that Vladimir Putin stole the election from Hillary Clinton back in 2016. That the Trump administration was irreparably compromised by the Russians, that Trump himself was a bona fide Russian asset, reliably serving the interests of the Kremlin. But now, thanks to the investigative work of the likes of Kash Patel and what you did on November the 5th, it's been increasingly revealed that the real crime was, of course, not anything that Trump ever did. It was what the Obama-Biden Hillary machine unleashed against both a presidential candidate and a then sitting president. We now know the operation called Crossfire Hurricane, a code name used for the counterintelligence investigation of the Trump presidential campaign and its supposed ties to Russian officials. We now know that from its very inception, it was nothing more than an attempt to sabotage a presidential campaign. And then after that, when Trump was elected, it turned into a bona fide deep state coup, which sought to overthrow a duly elected president. Now, Crossfire Hurricane, if you don't know, it was launched in order to cover up another FBI scandal. And that was the compromised investigation into Hillary Clinton's email scandal. So you've got scandal on top of scandal here. Now, you remember Hillary Clinton committed a felony of obstruction of justice by deleting subpoenaed emails of classified material on her own private email server, a crime that would have landed any one of us in jail for many, many years. We now know that the FBI investigation into that was a fraud. It was completely compromised by then FBI Director James Comey. Comey and the FBI agent Peter Stroke, who was the rabid left-wing lunatic in charge of the Hillary investigation. We now know that both of them exonerated her from the very beginning. It was a total charade of an investigation. But just in case Trump won in 2016, they needed what Stroke called an insurance policy to make sure that that fraud of an investigation never saw the light of day. And so they, in effect, launched what's called Crossfire Hurricane, where they concocted fabricated charges against Trump that he was colluding with Russia to steal the election. So FBI Director James Comey and his deputy, Andrew McCabe, on four different occasions obtained FISA warrants to spy on the Trump campaign and then later the Trump presidency by submitting a concocted, fabricated Russian dossier that was put together by the Clinton campaign as supposed evidence to obtain those FISA warrants, even though they knew, they absolutely knew that the document, that Steele dossier, as it's called, was in fact a fraud. It was fabricated by an opposition research company called Fusion GPS that was hired and paid for by the Clinton campaign. So they knew that they were attempting to obtain these warrants using fraudulent information. They worked together with then CIA Director John Brennan to deliberately leak damaging information on Trump to the press in order to bring about a special counsel investigation against Trump to cripple his presidency, which of course happened under Robert Mueller. And then to make things even worse, because of what you did on November 5th, the newly appointed National Intelligence Director, Tulsi Gabbard, released documents showing unequivocally that all of this had ultimately been approved by none other than Barack Obama himself back in December of 2017, just weeks before Trump was to be inaugurated for his first term. According to the White House's own documents, President Obama personally ordered a new intelligence assessment that would support this Russian collusion hoax, contradicting months of intelligence reports that all said unanimously Russia was not trying to influence the election. Obama made the decision to manufacture fake intelligence that directly contradicted their own experts in order to sabotage Donald Trump's presidency. Make no mistake, what Tulsi exposed here represents a fundamental attack on the very democratic processes of our nation itself. That's why Tulsi called this act by Obama and his officials treasonous behavior on the part of all those involved. And now we're learning from a former Senate Judiciary Chief Counsel, very close to President Trump, that the indictments are indeed coming, and they are going all the way to the top. Here's the bombshell revelation that was just dropped on Fox News by Mike Davis, president of the Article 3 Project and close confidant of President Trump, on who's about to get indicted next.
Mike, how far up the chain does this go?
I think it goes all the way up to the top, to President Obama, to Vice President Biden, to Hillary Clinton, Comey, Brennan, Clapper, so many players within the Obama and Biden administration. And I think it also includes the lawfare Democrats, these prosecutors who coordinated with the Biden White House to bring these indictments against President Trump.
And there's also a grand jury being prepared right now, right?
There is a new grand jury in Fort Pierce, Florida, and that would be a good place to do this grand jury investigation for what they did to President Trump.
Okay.
The Mar-a-Lago raids the hook.
Gentlemen, thank you. Thank you so much.
So there you have it. There is indeed a grand jury that's looking at all the evidence involving every one of these players. Obama, Biden, Clinton, Comer, Brennan, Clapper. I mean, this is absolutely huge, and you heard that grand jury is in Florida. The very fact that grand jury is in Florida shows the Trump administration is very serious about putting these people behind bars. And that's because we all know that no D.C. jury imaginable would ever convict Obama in his inner circle. None. Zippo. And we could salivate all we want about the DOJ bringing charges against everyone involved in this conspiracy. But the cold, hard reality is that there is no conceivable court inside the Beltway at D.C. that will ever even consider convicting Obama and his ilk. But the good news in all of this, there are statutes that carry baked in venue flexibility. In other words, there are certain crimes that allow for the defendant to be charged in any venue across the country. So this involves crimes like money laundering, right? Or wire fraud. And as it just so happens, conspiracy. According to U.S. Code 18, Section 371, conspiracy to commit offense or to defraud the United States may be tried in any court jurisdiction. And already, as we've seen, Tulsi has underscored the conspiratorial nature of these crimes, these alleged crimes, I must say, committed by Obama and his inner circle against President Trump. So as it turns out, Pam Bondi is indeed, according to reports, impaneling the grand jury for the Russian collusion hoax in the great state of Florida, which shows you just how serious they are with convictions, because I need not tell you, Florida juries ain't D.C. juries. Deep red Florida juries don't play games with corrupt politicians. Now, that said, many are asking, why is the legacy media not covering this story the way, I mean, this is obviously bigger than Watergate. This is gigantic. If Watergate were a little tiny, you know, model boat, this is an oil tanker, right? This is a massive cruise liner. Why is the media not covering it like Watergate? I think we have to answer that question because Watergate wasn't originally reported to uncover a scandal. It was a scandal to get rid of Richard Milhouse Nixon before he dismantled the deep state, okay? The legacy media outlets like the Washington Post were not in the least interested in uncovering a scandal for the sake of truth and accountability before the American people. They were interested in taking down a particular president. So this is why all the disillusionment I hear among pundits as to why the legacy media isn't covering Operation Crossfire Hurricane as infinitely worse than Watergate. This is why I think they're all so incredibly naive. The legacy media did not cover Watergate in order to uncover truth. They covered Watergate in order to deliberately undermine a presidency, a Republican presidency. And the legacy media will simply never, ever, ever, in anyone's wildest imaginations, they will never cover anything. They will never break any story that could possibly risk what little power the Democrats still have left. Because the Democrats and the legacy media are the same. They're literally married to each other. We can't even count how many so-called journalists have spouses that work for the Democrat Party in the deep state. So the legacy media will never break or cover a story that destroys the Democrats precisely because the legacy media are indistinguishable from the Democrats. The Democrats and the media are one. It's really that simple. However, the good news is we don't need the legacy media anymore. We've got the internet. We've got social media. The people now actually have access to the very same information anyone at CNN has access to. And so that's why, if you remember back in August, J.D. Vance predicted that a lot of people were going to get indicted as a result of Crossfire Hurricane. And by a lot of people, yes, he meant the likes of Brennan, Clinton, and Obama. As the Trump administration approaches his first official year back in office, the accountability phase officially begins. The White House is committed to providing the American public the truth about the extent to which former Obama and Biden officials deliberately attempted to sabotage both Trump's first administration and the democratic integrity of the presidential election. Mike Davis's prediction is becoming reality. Justice is coming. After years of lies, cover-ups, and institutional destruction, the perpetrators of the greatest political conspiracy in American history will finally face consequences.
That's all for our show today. As always, we hope you found today's content of interest and value. You can watch and or listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly here on the Jim Benson Show pages at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show. And elsewhere on the internet, including x.com at James B5030-91977. And also on rumble.com and Apple Podcasts. While you're at it, if you visit my pages here at bbsradio.com, scroll down on my index page there at bbsradio.com/The Jim Benson Show and check out our related videos section. Look for us again 2 weeks from today in the same time slot with another episode of the show. And have a great rest of your day and evening.